Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. On this glorious, cold winter, first Thursday in January, this is Lorraine Neidhart, Venus Unplugged, your virtual Heartbreak Hotel, all things Venusian. And this year, which is beginning, it feels fierce. It just feels like that's the word that keeps on coming to me in my dreams and in my calm states, this sense of that 2013 is going to be really fierce. And then I'm thinking, wow, what can I give you to work with fierceness? Because heaven knows Venus can be fierce. She's not just sweetness and light and hearts. Okay, so today, a few of the things I'd like to go over. Now, you need to remember, I am a Gemini, so I live in the world of paradox. People that don't understand Gemini energy think we're going all over the place. And people who can tolerate paradox know I'm weaving. I'm moving you through time and space. And a little bit of trickster. Just when you think you understand something, something else comes up. Just the way psyche does it. So I'd like to first talk a little bit about this marvelous 6 year. Okay, so you add the 2 and the 1 and the 3. And there you got it. There you got it. Comes to a 6. What's 6? It's the tension of the opposites. It's the two triangles interlocked, the seal of Solomon. So the tensions are the fire and the air, and the other is the earth and the water. So there's going to be a lot of energy within ourselves that's going to go on about what we think and what we feel and what we value and what we know and what is extrovert and what is introvert. And the opposite of love is actually power. So we look for, when we're feeling wounded in the love, we look for where was the power structure? What went down, right? And today I would like to, I don't want to say introduce because I think everybody knows what it is, okay? But maybe it hasn't been stated. So I can't introduce psyche. I can just make you kind of aware that psyche is the true mystery. So I'm going to give you a little quote here from Uncle Carl Jung, C.G. Jung. What he states, and he started all this language, this wounded healer stuff that we're all so fascinated by, the wounded psyche, the wounded Venus. How do we transform her and bring her back to her magnificence? How do we get Venus out of exile? That's one of the main problems I feel is going on in our culture. She's been in exile, the principle of relatedness. So one of the things, one of the quotes of Jung, what he says is, when we say psyche, we are alluding to the densest, darkest possible to imagine. Okay, and that psyche reflects and knows the whole of existence. So psyche is living, breathing essence, both internally and externally, as above, so below. She is the mystery. One of her symbols is the form of the butterfly. For those who want to delve a little deeper, read the book She by Robert Johnson. It tells you the story of the birth of psyche, which actually I plan to go over probably in about a month or so. Tell you that story, because we need to have that mystery. I found out something interesting, that the word mirror means shadow holder. So perhaps I am your shadow holder, but also Aphrodite holds a mirror. And it's, some people believe it's her, she can see her own beauty, and I don't think so. I think it's because she is the shadow holder. She recognizes what that's about. And once again, the shadow is just what we don't know. The shadow can be our blind spot, which gets us in a lot of trouble in relationships, right? So I talked the last time about resolutions, and that instead of doing the list, I was going to get to the essence of why the list never gets done or lived out, and it's because there's resistance. So I've been working on resistance. It's pretty amazing. And there are days it just wins. It just says, no, I'm stronger than you are. I'm not doing it. And I just keep on working like what I did for New Year's. I decided to be still because I could feel this fierceness that was coming. And although I was invited to 4 different parties and I so wanted to go to every single one of them, Creative Voice said, no, you need to be still. But I did start to make, you know, because that's my art form is shoemaking. I hand make shoes. I decided for the year of the snake, I was going to make a pair of python shoes. So I started that on New Year's Day. But I worked, and I've been working with this resistance and thinking, okay, let me do this a living exercise, kind of a mystery that we have in our closet. So I took everything out of my big closet and just watched all the resistance of what needed to be thrown away, the resistance of doing the whole project. And that's when this resistance, and I said, what is beneath the resistance? And I start to realize it was a bit of a mystery. So that's how psyche as the true mystery became today's pondering, musing, wondering with this, What is this mystery that psyche carries in all of us? And I think that's the approach that we need to have. How do we have a conversation? How do we have an experience with psyche? We need to be able to deal with the tension, okay, of mystery. We don't know. You can't bring it, you know, when it's the mystery schools, there's a little sign that says, leave your ego at the door. Leave what you think you know at the door, because you don't know shit, honey. And when we get in there and we begin to realize the humbling, and by humbling, I mean that brings us to the earth, to the mud, to that mystery of being human, okay, in the presence of psyche. That's what she's about. She's about this unknowing part, but she's everything. She's in and about and around and through. And in the realm of psyche, it's immeasurable, and it's great, and it's filled with the living reality. And at its brink lies the secret of matter and spirit. That is also another quote from Jung. And eventually we'll get into matter and spirit, which is alchemy. But the feeling of what is this thing called psyche, and what is our relationship? If we understand it, we can feel the understanding, we can intuit, but it's not, which is what I love about the Jungian stuff, it's not exact science. Some days it means this, and other days it's that. It's living, and it moves. It's like a babbling a river that we're always moving down. And we have the stones, and we have the water, and we have the thoughts. We have all these things, but then we move them. It's like dream interpretation. The you know, in the dream, everything that we last night, I had a dream about two white serpents, okay? So I knew, whoa, okay, serpents. Something is shifting in my psyche. Something is going to reveal itself. I've been doing this Jungian work for 30 years, and I at least one thing I've learned, good manners. The etiquette of how to approach psyche is very important. It can't be an intellectual, I know. And that also is what the mystery of love is. We don't know. We think we know. We'd like to know. But that's ego. We need the ego to get the wash done, to get things done. It's very important. But it's not how we approach this mystery. Another quote from Jung. I seem to be just quoting Jung up the yin-yang today, huh? Okay. Well, I want you to understand that, or at least have to stand before psyche, one's own psyche, okay? Because, as I said, it's both all around us. It is the cosmos, okay? And it is within us, okay? And to be able to witness and be before our own psyche is to be in awe of oneself. The self with a big S. And how can we love ourselves if we don't know what the self is? Now, the little self is the one that acts every day, and that's the one we know, and that's the one that eats bananas and likes to write graffiti on the bathroom floor or something, okay? That's one self, but the big self with a capital S, that's the divinity. And the nature of alchemy, I mean, why this interest in alchemy? Alchemy teaches us how to work with spirit and matter, the tension of the opposites, and to work with the shadow and to work with the different archetypes and begin to understand them so that we, the royal we, spirit and matter, you, can be strong enough to contain when the spirit of the self wants to enter you and your life. Because all hell breaks loose. When we call the divine in or we say, no, I want to be whole, get ready, people. You're in for the biggest ride of your life, but there's no other game in town like the game of individuation. That's Jung's word for wholeness and for consciousness. So today, another little thing, reading some ancient texts about the Egyptians, and the Egyptians had no word for death. They also had no word for sin. The hieroglyphic for sin was a little bird that eats all the seeds. Foolishness. But the Egyptians called death westing. We would go to the west where the sun sets, which is pretty profound imagery. Okay. Now, I want to talk about psychic blindness. And that's when we're not aware of the nature of psyche. We can feel when we are in her, okay, or she is in us. It's all happening at the same time. Someone else, particularly the beloved, can pick up. You know, if you say to your boyfriend or your husband or your friend, like particularly males, because they can get possessed by their anima, which is the feminine side, and they don't know they're having a mood. And you're asking for a fight by pointing it out. You just recognize, all right, he's just having lunch with his mother complex. That's okay. That's cool. Okay. Because he's in psyche, and psyche is in him. He's having an experience. Or you're having an experience, you know, when you want the beloved to be something that he can't be, like a hero. He doesn't want to be a hero. He's having enough trouble being a human being, let alone a hero. It's something in the secrets and the mysteries. I've been thinking about this one a lot. And in our relationships, in our love relationships, and all relationships are a form of love relationship, whether we like to see it or not. I mean, it may be the opposite of love. Like I said, that's power, okay? But when we hold secrets, that can wind up being very, very dangerous. Because when we hide our secrets, and the secrets, they tell us who we are, secrets about what we have done, secrets on how we feel. But with secrets that we hide, we're forced to live a lie about who we are. So when we've got a big secret, we're forced to lie about who we are. So think about sharing secrets with someone who's safe, not someone who's going to flip out, okay? Someone who doesn't judge. Tell it to your cat or your dog. Tell your secrets or write them down to give them a form of transformation. There's kind of wisdom in confession, but we need to set up like our own confessional where maybe tell your secrets to a tape recorder and then listen to them back a month later, or write your secret down and mail them to yourselves and then look at them. I used to do that all the time, write a letter to myself, what I was upset about, and then I'd get the letter and go, wow, this person's really suffering, and I'd have such compassion, then I'd realize it was me. So it was kind of cool to get a letter from myself to myself. But see, the secrets, so make a list of your secrets. As I said, now don't go stark raving mad and be telling your secrets to people who can't handle it or, you know, don't understand. First of all, start with yourself. See what your main secret is that's holding you back. Sometimes the secret is a positive thing. It's like you're really talented in a particular area, but you're afraid to express it. That could be a secret. Secrets aren't necessarily negative, okay? They hide the truth of who we are and eventually erode true relatedness, okay? And that's why the lies we tell ourselves are the greatest lies. Everybody lies to some degree or another, white lies, big lies, little lies. But the greatest is the lie we tell ourselves. One of the greatest lies that we tell ourselves is that we are not magnificent. Potentially, yes, we are. We need to work on that. We need to discover. We need to see our shadow and light. We need to take responsibility for shadow and light. Okay. And so, you know, when I do sessions with people, that's also one of my tasks. My task is to find out the secret, to reveal the secret in a cohesive way. There was this one experience where, because secrets equal to revelation, and like a big secret, the one that robs you of your authority, like an addiction or cheating or lost love or somebody you're angry at, is a big man. And then because you're so busy holding that energy in, it's a theft. It's a theft from your authentic self. Many years ago, this man came to me and actually he wanted to do some mentoring. I do readings and I do, you know, one-time sessions, and then I do mentoring. And this man wanted to leave his relationship. So we began to work on what that was about. And it wasn't really... He loved her. And I said, so we kept on working. And finally what was revealed, what his secret was, and he couldn't formulate it. And that's part of what one does, you know. I get to be, like I said, I get to be that handheld mirror of the shadow holder. And as I said, shadow and light. Shadow can be cold, okay? And as we unfolded his story, he began to realize that he lost his erotic connection to his wife when she became thin, because he wanted a Rubenesque woman, somebody who was full, like in the Renaissance. She thought he wanted a thin wife. So she went on this diet, she lost all this weight, she did all this. And with losing the weight, she was also beginning to lose her husband. So these two had a secret that they never shared with one another, which gets me crazy. It's like, you know, when I see romantic stories, which of course are marvelous, but there's always this stupid secret. Why don't you just say what it is you got to say? The worst that can happen is the worst that can happen. But you're still standing, okay? So here we have this great secret, okay? He wants a Rubenesque woman. She doesn't believe that because She's watching television and looking at magazines. And so she goes and she loses all this weight. And he can't relate to that body. He wants her body, her real body. And even when he hinted at it, she didn't believe him. Oh, no, he couldn't possibly want that. Because she was convinced by what the world told her that he would really want this. Well, once they realized that, she got off, you know, getting herself crazy with losing weight because that was not her natural state. She wanted to keep, you know, a natural healthy state. She didn't want to go into, you know, extreme obesity because that's not healthy, okay? And he was happy and they were happy and then they both, that secret came out. And that was the secret that was destroying their erotic bond. Go figure. Everybody thinks it's the mother. Not always. Sometimes it's just we don't realize the other person is telling us something, okay? Or we don't want to hear their secret. You know, I had another instance of a man, a wonderful man in a terrific marriage, and he was a cross-dresser. So I saw that. I saw what was trying to be delivered there. And cross-dressing is a very interesting dynamic because cross-dressing is a man is really wanting to connect to the feminine, and the only way he can connect to it is through wearing female clothes. So once that was revealed in a very conscious way, I certainly don't have any issue with that. But I said, well, you know, cross-dressing is one thing, but bad taste, now there's the sin. There's, you're missing the mark. So I sent him to a finishing school for cross-dressers. Said he'd be stylish and fabulous, and his wife understood, and she didn't have any issues with it. So there you go. There goes a secret this man was suffering with. Once he realized it, he was accepted, okay, because his wife loved him and understood what that was about without judgment. Now, the interesting thing about secrets and mysteries, okay, the mystery is more about what is unknown to us, or it can be a puzzling story, or it can sometimes be a divine revelation. It's secret knowledge. Okay, but it's more of the mystery is the attitude. So how do we approach a mystery, the mystery of the self? Okay, and we approach it by not knowing. That's how. We don't know. We stand before this great mystery of our life, this great mystery of not knowing, this great mystery. But we have a deep interest, a deep respect for not knowing, but staying in it, being cooked by a mystery. There are times we are not supposed to have the answer. We are to suffer the tension of the opposites. And as I said, this is the sixth year, so there's going to be a lot of suffering of the tensions of the opposites, okay? Once again, opposites, the extrovert and the introvert, fire and air are opposites. Earth and water are opposites. Thinking and feeling are opposites. Sensate and intuition are opposites. So these are all opposites that I'll go over at length at another point, not today. We're going to be feeling all of this. Now, one of the interesting things when we're starting to feel all this, or the opposite of what is a secret, which can be confidential or unadmitted or private and secluded. It's a secret without anyone else's knowledge, okay? But that's not a mystery. It's different. Mystery we need to contain. We need to contain not knowing. Okay. One of the things I do when I'm in the presence of a mystery, which is most of my life, I write a list you know, because this great mystery of the these opposites, like, oh, damn, what that? These are all pulling all these different ways, okay? Make a list of all the different things that are opposite, okay? And then write a sentence using those words, and then write a paragraph. Don't worry if it makes any sense. It will to psyche. It's like psyche Scrabble, right? And what will happen is in using these words, you're going to come up with something original. You're going to come up with something insightful. Because psyche loves the presence of mysteries. She loves all the things that we don't know. She is everything. She's your soul. And the soul isn't just into sweetness and light. The soul is a wild, courageous, profound, undefinable essence of who we are. Her beauty surpasses any beauty we could ever imagine. So when we can start having a relationship to psyche and to soul, that is the internal, okay? That is those feelings. Those are all the grand passions also in our love affairs that rip us apart and have us not understand. That person is so different. Well, that's right. We usually marry our inferior function or date it chronically. You know, our chronic blunders. One of my chronic blunders is, you know, I was just born with a very kind heart. And I love to give. But sometimes I do it indiscriminately or I overgive. Okay? And then I have to deal with the... no good turn goes unpunished. I always hated that saying. But I realize when we're doing something good and it's unrelated and it's just good for goodness sakes, but we haven't really used it, I'm talking about myself, in a discerning manner, of course it blows up in your face. It's supposed to. Because when we do good, we provoke its opposite, shadow. They go together. So when we only want to do something good and don't measure it, which kind-hearted people always do, they're just indiscriminately kind and they give out and they don't question, and they don't question what is it that they're giving or the value of what they're giving, their shadow's going to come back. And it's not because the giving and goodness is stupid. It's just when it's out of balance. That's part of discerning. That's the kind of stuff that's going to be happening this year. All these tension of the opposites. Because goodness and kindness, powerful, and very often can provoke its opposite, which is envy. You can do something good, or the intention can be good, and you get envy back. Just like Cinderella. What the hell did Cinderella ever do? She never did it. So, my loves, the queen just told me I got to bounce, okay? Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't want to leave you. I love you all. Come on, come on. Okay, don't forget to Facebook. Don't forget to go on my website. Don't forget to come back next week. What? There was another thing. Oh, this. I don't want to leave without telling you this. This is a quote from David White, the poet. Anything or anyone that does not bring you alive is too small for you. Anything or anyone that does not bring you alive is too small for you. Check that out. Doesn't that make you swoon? Okay. Next Thursday, or whenever you tune in, you can download this on iTunes, or you can go on my webpage and pick it up. You can go on Facebook. I'm going to put it up on Facebook, and email me. Let me know what you want to know, okay? Because I could talk about this forever. I love psyche. She is my squeeze, my main squeeze, my religion. And I hope I can share my enthusiasm and that you become on fire, fierce with enthusiasm, because we're going to need this and this year. Okie dokie, we've got 10 seconds left. Oh, make a wish. It's a fabulous, fabulous moment. And I'm also going to put up the Gifting Angels on my Facebook. So Facebook me, and I'll friend you, and then we'll go. We're off and we're running. It's going to be a great year. Wow. All my new world, my new friends. I love this. Talk to you next week. Bye.